I respect and appreciate the other ministers here in the congregation. And I have no desire to move ahead of you. I have a burden on my heart this morning. So I ask an interest in your prayers as we work with that. Have you ever thought of the contest of wills and the conflict that was going on at the cross of Calvary? The forces of opposition were so very strong to the Lord Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees opposed him in every way they could possibly imagine. Of course, their form of religion was being turned upside down. And they didn't like that because that was upsetting their base. It was destroying the clamoring that they had after them, their following. And they didn't appreciate Jesus, but they should have known who he was. They claimed to be doctors of the law, and they should have known who the Christ was, but through the blindness of their hearts, they were not able to see. And the Lord, being the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, was sent and willing to come to this earth to bring that message, that gospel message of salvation, and to release the hearts that were bound and imprisoned by the forces of the law that were being placed upon them, as being placed upon them. And the contest, the battle that was being waged there, that led all the way up into the time of the crucifixion of Jesus while he hung on that cross, there were those that looked on the scene with and felt like, we've got him now. This is the end of this thing, and it's finished after this. We finally reached our purpose, our goal here. We got the man. We've got him nailed to that cross, and he can't get down. Well, the contest that was going on there between right and wrong, it's hard to really comprehend the fullness of what was happening that day. Of everything that was occurring and what was looked to be destruction, what looked to be defeat, was actually the greatest victory that was ever proclaimed to mankind, because Jesus said, "It is finished." And that made available to all mankind the complete and full plan that God had desired for His creation from the very beginning, being restored once again to that place. Jesus did triumph that day. Right did triumph that day. The forces that were so strong there, all the way to the cross of Calvary, there was a contest of wills. There were battle lines that were drawn. Let's keep that in mind as we go throughout this day and as we go through the message. We do well to humble ourselves at the cross of Calvary. That's where the contest of wills is, folks. That's where the battles, that's where we win the victories. When we humble ourselves at the cross of Jesus, and we gain the victories then, when we realize the contest that's going on within, between right and wrong, the forces of evil that are pressing hard on every side, there's a strong, a heavy, hot battle going on, bidding for our souls. The battle lines are drawn there. We need to place ourselves at the foot of the cross. In John, the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, this was a discourse that Jesus was speaking to the people there. He was giving them words of truth, words of reason, things that they needed to understand and pay close attention to. And in this 10th verse, he says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." What does that mean to you today, to have life more abundantly? You know, there are, every one of us are living creatures, human beings that get about in this world. And we see our friends and our neighbors, our acquaintances, business associates. They have life. They're walking around. They have the ability to speak, communicate, to transact business. They have life. They are living creatures. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What is the more abundant life? Oh, yes, the prosperity of the soul. People have blinders. They have cataracts, as it were. They have things on the eyes of their spiritual life. They're darkened. They're not able to see and pierce through those things and see what an abundant life is. There's life there. There's warmth there because there's the blood circulating throughout the body. Everything is in order as it should be, except that the soul is not receiving the things that it should be receiving. Lord, help us today that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. That is the words that Jesus said, I'm come that they might have it more abundantly. I want us to deal with that today, having life more abundantly, but it's going to take something for us to have that life more abundantly, more than just a life, more than just the ability to reach out and shake hands with my fellow man, more than just a casual conversation or an acquaintance with him, but a more abundant life to where the deepest needs of my soul are met. And when the deepest needs of my soul are met, other things will then fall into place in my life. Folks, there are people walking around today that are alive and they're fully healthy, are able to get along, but they're so maimed and so crippled in their spiritual condition. They're not able to cope. They don't have the ability within themselves to deal with the situations and issues of life that sometimes have been forced upon them, but sometimes they have forced upon themselves. People get in terrible fixes. And many times they get themselves in those places. But sometimes it's not their own making that causes. I'm thinking of situations today. Divorce in our nation is so rampant. And you have single family homes, single parent families that are bringing up children. And there's a handicap there. There is a handicap there because the Lord designed for there to be a man and a woman, a father and a mother, bringing those children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's God's design. That is more abundantly when you're dealing with life. Life is different. You're talking about a child that is raised up in a society where they don't know the strong hand of authority of a father. Or they don't know the loving, tender, affectionate hand or kiss of a mother. There's a handicap there. There's life there. They are alive. They go about and they get along in society. But there's not an abundant life. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. There's the answer. There's the answer to difficult situations in life. People are raised sometimes in families and homes where they're handicapped. They're given handicaps and they can't help it. Children raised up in a home and they receive handicaps right there in that home that are passed on to them by the conduct and the actions of the parents. And there's life there. There's a child that grows from the infant to the toddler to the school age to the adolescent to the adult that goes out into society then. And what things do they have to take with them? Sometimes, folks, sometimes they are able to cope and get a hold of the things of the Lord and turn their lives around. But so many times, if you just take the time to stop and look and listen today, you'll hear the cry and you'll see the effects of nothing but life. Nothing but a bare necessity life. When Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. What people need is Jesus. That's what they need. They need Jesus. They need to lay aside these other things. They need to humble themselves at the cross. That's where the conflict is. The battle lies between right and wrong. The conflict. All the major conflict that was going on that day between right and wrong at the cross of Jesus. We have a song that says, at the cross of Jesus bowing, here I find a safe retreat from a world of care and sorrow in His presence, calm and sweet. At the cross of Jesus. That's where we need to find ourselves, bowing at the cross of Jesus, at the foot of the cross. Life more abundantly. Who wouldn't want it? Who would want to go through life maimed or halt or crippled? Folks, there are people that have been born with diseases. They've been born with afflictions. They've been born with handicaps, and they have to learn how to cope. But who would not take the opportunity, if they had the chance, to correct that, to make a difference, wouldn't take the opportunity to correct that and fix what was wrong with them and live a normal life? Who of us who have handicaps on us spiritually, situations in life that need to be corrected? Maybe my parents didn't teach me everything that I need to know. Maybe I was treated unfairly. Maybe someone beat me. Maybe I was abused physically. Maybe I was abused verbally. Maybe I was abused emotionally. These are handicaps. There's a life there, but it's a cold life. It's alive, but it needs some attention. It needs some help. Jesus said, "I've come that they might have it more abundantly." Oh, folks, I'll tell you, the more I get around in this world and the more people I meet, the more people I talk to, the more I see that there are people, myself included, I have found myself with handicaps. I've had handicaps. There were things that I had to learn, that I had to realize and recognize in my life that it was a handicap. And I had to be able to get to the place where I had to submit that thing to the Lord. I had to seek help and guidance to overcome that. We needn't think, just because we were raised in a church atmosphere, and just because we were raised in a home where there was a mom and a dad, that that answers all the questions to life. It doesn't always. People fail. People fail. People fail at their responsibilities. Men, women, husbands, wives, they fail at their responsibilities. And when they fail at their responsibilities, they put that albatross, as it were, that monkey on the backs of the children. That falls right on the children. And so many times they grow up in life and they don't really realize the things that have happened to them. But they have to be able to cope. There's life. But it's not real warm. It's alive. But it's not abundant. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." I'd like to turn to Isaiah, 58th chapter. This is found at the foot of the cross, saints. This is where it's found. That's where Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. That's where it was defeated that day. Was at the cross. And we need to find ourselves at the foot of the cross. Isaiah 58, 6 verse. "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." Let's go to Matthew, 23rd chapter. The Lord desired that we be free, that we be unshackled from the things of the world, from sin and Satan that would bind us and weigh us down. The Lord came with that. When He said, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly," it was life of freedom. Freedom from the shackles of sin and the weights that go along with it. Freedom from that. That's what the Lord came to bring. Let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke. That's what the Lord desires for us, each one to have. Freedom. Freedom in the Lord. Liberty in the Lord. Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Jesus here was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and He was laying it out plain. I think of the scripture that says the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Jesus got right down in these people's profession. He got right down in their faces and he said to them, "Woe unto you." He spoke woe unto them because of the different things that they had done to mankind. They were trying to keep their little gathering together. They were trying to keep their influence. They were trying to keep their effectual workings over these people by keeping them under bondage. Jesus said, life more abundantly. That's what He came to bring. And now He's talking to these scribes and Pharisees. And He says in the 13th verse, "But woe unto you. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Strong words. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation." In the 23rd verse, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to have left the other undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat, and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. In one place it talks about, you bind heavy burdens on men, grievous to be borne. You bind these things on men just so you can have your influence on them, but you will not with one finger lift it to give a hand, to give some help to these people. Woe unto you," He says. "I'm come to release these people. I'm come to give them life and life more abundantly." Who wants it? Who is interested in it anymore? In this world, in our society, who is interested in having an abundant life? A life that is not smothered by the effects of sin, by the effects of Satan. All the things that mankind suffers today, that mankind suffers under, it is not like God, is from the devil. Folks fail, people fail. People have good intentions, but they just don't go about it quite right sometimes. And people end up, young people, children end up going through life with a handicap on their bodies. Unable to cope with situations of life that they need to cope with, and they don't know why. They don't know why. They don't know why they don't understand. They don't know why they can't cope. They don't know why it's this way. They don't know why they feel this way about certain people. They don't know why they feel this way about certain things. They don't know why they feel this way about the Bible, about the church, about Sunday school, about prayer meeting, about anything that you... They don't understand why they feel that way. It's a breakdown. It's a breakdown. It's something that has not been passed down. It's not been handed down to the children. From the parents to the children, it hasn't been handed down. It's a breakdown, and that's why they feel this way. And Jesus has come to make amends for that. To make a change, to put a separation in there between what was wrong and what is right. At the cross, at the foot of the cross, is where the conflict is. Get down before the Lord at the foot of the cross. If all these things, if any of these things come into your mind where I don't understand, I don't know why, Lord. I don't know why it's this way. I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know why I feel so rebellious inside. I don't know why I can't understand when people love me and they try to help me, that I feel that they're trying to force me into something. I don't understand. There's a breakdown. There's been a breakdown. Lord, help us. This is what Jesus came to change, to make amends for. I'm come that they might have life, have it more abundantly. The 12th chapter of Matthew. The 15th verse. 14th verse. Matthew 12, 14. And 15. "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." He healed them all. I don't believe that every need there was a physical need. I don't believe that there were people, just the people that were sick that were brought to the Lord. I don't believe it were ones that just were suffering under migraine headaches or with bad vision or were lame. I don't believe that that's all that followed the Lord. They were included. But there was a great multitude, it said, great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. An opportunity for restoration. An opportunity to be placed in the place where I should be. I should be healthy. I should be whole. I should be sound. I shouldn't be rotten within. That I could be taken care of and healed. My emotions healed. The wounds and the scars that I received when I was coming up. I couldn't help it. Someone handed these things to me and I did the best I could with them, Lord. And I don't understand why I feel this way. But I need the help. I need some help. I need to get this out of the way. I need to get some understanding of why I feel so rebellious. Why I have hatred in my heart. Why I distaste and loathe these things that sound so good, but I have no interest in them. Why is it that way? Why is it that way? Sick. Sick. Not well. Need a healing touch. And Jesus said, here in this passage said, great multitudes followed Him. Great multitudes today need to be healed. Not just physically. Not just physical healing. They need emotional healing. They need emotional support. They need help down deep within. These are the things that are missing in this world. We can get by without an arm or a leg or a foot. We can get by rolling around in a wheelchair. We can get by in life. We can get by that way. It can be done. We can have more abundant life and be maimed, halt, crippled physically. But to be maimed, halt, and crippled spiritually or emotionally is a very, very hard place for a person to be in. To have to go through life and never have these questions answered and not understand why and not seek help to be restored. Jesus healed them all. He healed them all. How did He do it? He came to give life and more abundant life. That's what He came to, release the captive from those things. Set him free at the cross. At the cross. The great battle was going on at the cross. The conflict between right and wrong was going on at the cross. We cannot fathom what was going on that day. We cannot fathom it. We know that Jesus was crucified. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And He was crucified. And we know, we understand to a degree that we're able to understand in our little finite minds that He died to purchase my soul so that I could make heaven my home. But He died for more than that. That's wonderful. That's ultimate. It is. But He died for more than that. He died to bring peace. He died to bring restoration. He died to bring soundness to a soul that was in bondage to sin, in bondage to the scribes and the Pharisees, in bondage to the old law system where they had things placed upon them that they couldn't bear. They just couldn't bear. But they were told to bear it. You must do these things or you're not right with the Lord. You must do this. You must do that or the Lord won't be pleased with you. Jesus said, you pay your tithes of mint and anise and cumin, but you've left out the weightier matters. Love, judgment, mercy. You left out the meat and potatoes of the thing. You left out what really gets down to the basics. All these things are important. Yes, they are. But the basics, what's the meat and potatoes of it is peace in the soul. Satisfaction that I'm at peace with my Maker. He healed them all. Thank the Lord for that little verse right there. He healed them all. That means that not a one was left out that came to Him with a need. That came to Him with some type of need in their life. Whether it was physical, emotional, or spiritual. They came to the Lord and He healed them all. Oh, I tell you, that rejoices my soul to know that people can be restored and made whole. They can be put back on solid ground. Matthew, the 5th chapter. I'm sorry. The 9th chapter. The 27th verse. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Physical need. Blind men follow the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy on us. We know that the Lord's fame went abroad, and apparently these men had found out a little bit about this man Jesus, and that they could receive help from him. And they said, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said to him, Yea, Lord. Believe ye that I am able to do this? There's a hurdle that needs to be overcome right there. Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that the Lord is able to heal? All right? Physical needs. We see these bodies decay. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I have trouble in my body. I feel it. And I know that that's what's happening to me. I'd be a fool not to acknowledge it. I recognize it. My body is decaying slowly, but it's happening to me. It's happening to every one of us. From the day that we are born, and it looks like a fountain of youth is springing up, but from that day, oh, there's a peak that is reached, and then we begin to go down. These bodies don't last forever. And I don't know what my future holds. I don't know what lies ahead for me in this physical body. I don't know. But I trust that the Lord, working with me, dealing with me, and we will keep my soul sound. He said, Believe ye that I am able to do this. We have to believe. Now that's hard sometimes for people to do because of everything that they have suffered under. Everything that they have been... Not everything, but the things, the dominant things that have pressured them and molded them and misshapen them. I said misshapen them. The things that have misshapen them destroy a belief system. They tear away, they chip away at the ability to comprehend and understand what God is, who He is, and how much He loves, and what He really wants to do with a human. That can be destroyed in a child, in a young person. I believe that the Scripture tells us that man is to be man, the male figure, is to be a representative of God to his family. He is supposed to be a representative of God to his family. And when that falls, when that fails, there is a serious, serious lack that is passed on to the children. They cannot see. If they don't see God exhibited in the life of their father, if they can't see respect, if they can't see humility of the man before his Maker, before his God, if they don't see that, if they're not able to discern and recognize that there is an order that has been set up and that Dad is following that order, they're going to have a very difficult time coping in life. That is handed to them, and it molds them, and it misshapes children. And they come up, and they don't know how to believe. They don't know. They don't know what to do. They don't know the direction to take. Jesus came to change that, but He asked these blind men the question, Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do this? If they had said, No, Lord, no sight. If they had said, Lord, I don't think so. No sight, fellas. I can't help you. If you don't believe what I'm telling you, if you don't believe the message that I'm bringing, if you don't believe everything that I'm telling you, I can't help you. If you don't believe the Bible, if you won't take time to humble yourself and listen and try to understand, you're going to have a hard time for someone talking to you to try to explain it to you. You won't be able to receive it. You have to be willing to believe. trust someone. Oh, here's another one, folks. But I can't trust anybody. I can't believe you. I can't trust you. I'm afraid to trust you. Because I did that before. I trusted someone and they walked all over me. They walked all over me. And they hurt me. And I'm afraid to trust you. I'm afraid to love you. I'm afraid to let... Lord, help us. Life more abundantly. Jesus came to break that chain. He came to break that cycle. To make a difference in lives. To heal. He healed them all. Believe ye that I am able to do this? The words of the Lord. Not me. The Lord. Believe ye that I am able to do this? When you humble yourself and you question, you ask God in honesty and sincerity, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know how. I don't know how to get this thing, this need met in my life. One place, there was one that was brought to the Lord, I believe possessed of a demon, and the statement was made, Lord, if Thou canst do anything, if You can do anything with this case, that's the way we need to be when we approach the Lord with these handicaps that we have in our lives. Lord, I don't know. I don't understand. But if You can do anything, if You can do anything with me, would You help me? Believe ye that I am able to do this? Oh, folks, let's get ourselves, let's cast these things upon the Lord. Our society is so sick. It's so sick. And it's spilling over into our communities, into our congregations, into our children. I see it. It's spilling over right into our families and are raised right around us, right amongst us. Sickness, not sound. Some answers. They need answers to questions in life. And they can't find it where they should be able to find it. Lord, if Thou canst do anything, that's a plea. I don't look at that as doubting, if Thou canst. I look at that as a plea. Lord, if there's anything You can do with this man, if there's anything You can do with this heart, would you do it? I'm bringing it to You and I'm humbling myself. If there's anything You can do with it, would You do it? Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Thirtieth verse. Twenty-ninth verse. Matthew 20:29. As they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed Him. I wonder why. I wonder why. Now I know there were those there that saw the loaves and the fishes and the miracle and they were filled and they followed the Lord because of those things. But I expect that there was a great noise proclaimed about this man. Brother, I came in contact with somebody today that can set you free from what you've had all of your life. Little sister, that you've had an issue of blood for how many years? Oh my. I met a man today. And if you can get to him, he can take care of that. Legion, I met a man today. I found a man today that is able to free you from the enemy of your soul. That is able to speak the word and rebuke the devil. He has authority and power over the devils that are in your life. Now, I'm just surmising. But Jesus freed that man. Jesus saw that man and He freed him. People looked on that man, they saw, they were afraid. They were afraid of him. They looked on, they saw him sitting, clothed, in his right mind. In his right mind. Tormented by the enemy of his soul. Jesus came on the scene. And they found this man sitting, I believe it says sitting at the feet of Jesus. I don't know if it says that exactly or not. Sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Healed, sound, restored. A great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Jesus stood still and called them and said these words, "What will ye that I shall do unto you? What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Jesus knew what they needed. He knew they were blind. But He asked them the question, "What will ye that I should do unto you?" Or, "What will you have me to do for you? In what way can I serve you?" The servant. "In what way can I serve you?" "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed Him. But the Lord's asking the question to every needy soul, to everyone that has a need, "What will ye that I shall do unto you? What can I do for you?" Have you ever walked into a place of business and you're a customer and you're needing someone to assist you, and a representative comes up and says, "What can I do for you?" What do you want them to do? You want them to help you. You want them to point you in the direction of your need so that you might be satisfied. You're looking for a product or a service. "May I help you? Or what can I do for you? This is what I'm looking for." "Oh yes, we have that right over here. Take it. There it is." Isn't that easy? Isn't that simple? Jesus says, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" He's asking the question to these blind men. Great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. "Believe ye that I am able to do this. I am come to give life, that they might have it more abundantly. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees! Woe unto you, entanglements of life! Woe unto you, false teachers! Woe unto you, parents that have not given the proper thing to the children! Woe unto all of that! But I'm coming to talk to you. What will you have me to do for you? Woe on all of that! Woe! That's not what it's supposed to be. I'm not here to change that. I'm here to work with you. What will you have me to do for you? Lord, that I might be whole again. Lord, that I might understand. Lord, that I might trust. That I might love. That I might be able to walk, talk, deal with my fellow man. That I might have you in my life at the center of my will." Conquering at the foot of the cross. Right, wrong. The battle lines drawn. So harshly drawn. But there's victory there. At the foot of the cross. "What would you have me to do for you? What would you have me to do for you?" Jesus is saying, "We've come to this service today. We've come before the Lord today. Have we asked anything of Him? Have you ever asked the Lord to help you? Help my unbelief? Have you ever asked Him to help me to understand why I feel the way that I feel? What can I do for you, son? Father, that you help me understand these things. Help me to be able to deal with these things of life. Yes. Believe you that I'm able to do this? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Yes. "Strengthen me enough, Lord. I believe that you're able to do it. I know what the Bible says. I know it's true, but I can't grasp it for myself. I just don't know. But I believe you're true. And I believe that the Word is right. Help my unbelief." Yes. "Strengthen my unbelief. Stir up that thing in me that needs to be stirred. I'm able to do it," the Lord says. "What can I do for you?" "Oh yes, I've got that for you. You've put in for it. You've asked for it. I've got that for you. Humble yourself at the cross. Yes. Let's fight the battle between right and wrong. Let's get some of this haze cleared out of the way. Let's get this blurry vision cleared up so you can see what maybe you weren't treated right. Maybe you were dealt with unfairly. Maybe so. But woe on all of that. But you don't have to go through life, the rest of your life, feeling that way. Now you're a man. Now you're a woman. You're a young man. You're a young lady. You're a grandpa, grandma. Now you've got an opportunity. Now you have a chance to make a difference. Now you have an opportunity to deal with your fellow man, your grandchildren or your children, the way it's supposed to be done. Now you have a chance to make a difference in somebody's life. It's never too late. It's never too late to make a change. Try to make an opportunity. Give someone an opportunity to find satisfaction in the Lord. It's never too late. It's never too late. Lives get wrecked. Lives get wrecked. But they can be fixed. They can be fixed. The emotions can be fixed. Or they can be restored to the point to where they're able to find peace and satisfaction in the Lord. There may always be a little something there that's hard to deal with in life, but the Lord will come in and fill the void. He'll come in and He'll make the difference there. When there are things that I can't deal with in life, He'll smooth that over for me because He loves me and He wants me to make heaven. He will help me through the difficult places in life. He'll help you through the difficult places in life. He'll help you to be able to deal with the abuses and the neglects and the wrongs that have been done to you that you can't help. He'll help you to have love in your heart, even though you were dealt with unfairly. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? And then what will you that I should do for you? Lord, help us today. You know, these blind men knew what their need was. And I remember Brother Ed telling me a little story about something he saw when he was in India. The children would come up to him, and we have so much here in our country. I don't know that any one of us know what hunger is. Maybe you do. Maybe you've experienced that in your life. But I wonder if we really know what hunger really is. But a child came to him, just a little child, and rubbed his stomach. He couldn't communicate in his language. Didn't know how. But you don't have to be able to speak to get some points across. Rubbed his stomach and said, put his fingers to his mouth. The child was hungry. If you're hungry, you know you're hungry. If you're sick, you know you're sick. If you're thirsty, you know you're thirsty. You know you want something to drink or you want something to eat. And when you have that and you know it needs attention, is it very hard for you to take care of it? No. It's a natural reaction. If I'm hungry, if I am to the point of feeling hunger in my body, I know what to do to take care of that. I will eat. If I am thirsty, I'll drink. But if I'm sick in my soul, what do? I need to recognize that. I need to know what to do and where to go. I need to know how to address that. A man can feel the pangs of hunger and know what it takes to fix it. He might not be able to at the time, but he knows what it takes to fix it. But the needs of the soul are more so important, and they are just as able to be filled to completeness. Where do you go? Matthew, the 8th chapter. Verse. Let me read this passage. beginning with 23. When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? You know, all of nature, all of the creation, bows in obedience to the Lord, except mankind. All of nature answers the call of the Creator, except mankind. What a shame. The winds and the waves obey this man. The Lord speaks, peace be still, and there was great calm. And I have a storm going in my life. I have a storm going in my soul, in my heart. And I need to have someone speak the words, peace be still. Yes. And I am part of His creation. And how all the animals know to store their food in the fall, in the spring, summer, for the winter months when there won't be any food. That's God's ability to visit with His creation. And they answer that. The winds and the waves. Why then can't a man answer? I don't understand that, Lord. But why is it that man doesn't answer to the call of his Creator? Peace be still. You got a storm raging in your life? You got something going on in there that needs to be calmed? You have something that's broken, shattered, and needs to be fixed? Bring it to the Lord. I'll go back to John in closing. John, the 10th chapter again. Tenth verse. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Now that's what the thief is there for. To steal your peace. To steal your contentment. To kill, ultimately in the end, and destroy. But I am come. They might have life. They might have it more abundantly. More than just a human being walking around in the world. But life abundantly. Amen.